has it. Okay, week 11. In the Father's house, living in the place prepared for us through the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Saints, praise the Lord for the Father's house. This week, I think from John 14, we see that saints, there's something higher than just a physical place, right? It's not just a place that we will go eventually, but actually the Father's house is actually today in our spirit as we are living in this organic union with the Lord. It is a mutual dwelling place of God and man. So to start, I would just briefly go over some verses in John so that we are all, you know, on the same page. So, of course, this phrase, the Father's house, we see in John, actually, in multiple places. The first place is actually in chapter 2. There we see that the Lord was going to the temple, and He was describing the temple. There were a lot of merchants doing selling and buying. Right. And then He called the place the temple of God, the Father's house.
Right.
In the Father's house, there should not be any right merchandising. But instead, He revealed at that time that He actually is the temple.
Right.
So there's the Father's house, the physical place. But He Himself is the temple.
Right.
Which He eventually said in chapter 2, He will die and resurrect it. The temple will be broken down and it will be rebuilt. There was His first revealing of this, right, the Father's house, which is His temple that will be, torn down and then rebuilt, signifying His death and resurrection, the temple of His body. But in chapter 14, you see again the Father's house. But here, the emphasis is a lot deeper. There in chapter 2, we have the Father's house as the body of His temple. But here, I'll just read these verses to you. In chapter 14, here in verse 2 of chapter 14, He says, the Lord says, in My Father's house are many abodes.
Right.
So there's a matter of the abodes now. Not just the outward temple, right? Not just the death and resurrection, but here we see that the Father's house are actually many abodes.
Right.
What is this abode? That we'll get into it, right? But of course, but before chapter, we get into the abodes, since I just want to bring up one thing. In verse 1, okay, actually, in verse 13, end of 13 into the first 1 of 14, there the Lord was revealing that He will go die, right, and resurrect. And then Peter was asking, Lord, where are You going?
Right.
Where are You going?
Right.
In fact, the Lord said, where I'm going, you cannot go with Me. But Peter was so proud. He said, I will go with you.
Right.
But the Lord said, no, Peter, you're not coming with Me. Because where I go, you cannot.
Right.
But the Lord said in verse 1 of chapter 14, do not let your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Believe into God.
Amen.
Believe also into Me.
Amen.
So Peter was worried that the Lord would go somewhere, but Lord was using that opportunity again to share a word of wisdom,
yes,
to really reveal what's on his heart.
Right.
He said, believe into Me.
Amen.
Since we will see this week, right, in room number 1, to believe into Him is not just believe in Him,
right,
in an objective way.
Right.
It's to believe into Him by being in this organic union with Him.
Yes.
When we believe into the Lord, we believe into all that He is, all that He has accomplished in it, and we become one with Him.
Amen.
We enter into God Himself.
Yeah.
But how does that take place? How do we, as men, right, we're sinners, how do we enter into God? We see that actually in chapter 14 of John, there's this wonderful picture, saints. Okay, sorry. Saying there's a lot here. Please stand with me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, so after the Lord revealed that we need to believe into God, we need to have this organic union with Him. He eventually, verse 2, right? We'll come back to verse 2. In My Father's house, there are many abodes.
Amen.
How are we going to enter into God and have an abode with God, right? How are we going to become the abode in the Father's house. The Lord said, it is not you, right? It says, I will go. I'm going. If I go, and I will go and prepare a place for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are not in the Father's house because we did something.
Right.
But the Lord had gone to prepare a place for us.
Amen.
In the Father's house.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. And we see that, what is his going? He said, I'm going. Eventually we know his goal is his going to die and resurrection.
Yes.
It is through his death and resurrection, we have a place.
Amen.
In the Father's house.
Yes.
Okay, there's more, so I'm going to keep going. Sorry. And then he says, verse 3 now. And he said, if I go to place and prepare a place for you, I am coming again.
Amen.
So that means he's going to go die, resurrected, and he's going to come back as the Spirit.
Amen.
As eventually in verse 16 and 17, he's the Spirit. He's the Father sending the Comforter.
Right.
The Spirit of reality coming.
Yes.
To be with us.
Yes.
In fact, to enter into us.
Yes.
Okay, so.
That's right.
We see that, okay. Amen. Oh Lord. In John chapter 20, right? The Lord died and resurrected, and he came in the closed room where all the disciples are. And then at that time he breathed himself into the disciples.
Right.
So that's his coming back.
Yes.
That's his coming to us.
Yes.
To enter into us as the Spirit.
Amen.
I'll read on, verse 20. In that day, which is the day of his resurrection, 14:20, then you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you.
Amen.
He died and resurrected. Now he is in the Father, right?
Yes.
Sorry, he is in the Father.
Right.
And through his death and resurrection, he brought us into him, the yes. Son. So he says, I'm in the Father, and you in me.
Amen.
And then not only that, as the Spirit, he can enter into us.
Right.
So it says, I'm in the Father, and you are in me, and now I am in you.
Amen.
Just stand with me, okay?
Amen.
This chapter is very mysterious. But there's so much here.
That's right.
So he went, dead and resurrected,
amen.
Brought man into God.
Yes.
So in verse 20, he can say, as the Spirit, I'm in you.
Amen.
He can enter into man.
Amen.
As the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, there's so much here, but I have to continue. And if that's 20. Okay, and 21, 22, and fish, I'll go on to 23. And then Jesus said again, okay, so that's, I'm in you, right? So yes. That shows that the Lord as the Spirit abides in us.
Yes.
And in verse 23, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me,
amen.
Anyone who will keep my word,
yes.
My Father will love him.
Yes.
And we, meaning the Son and the Father,
right.
Together,
right?
We will come to him and make an abode with him.
Amen.
So it's not just in him, you know, but it's to make an abode with him. And Father and the Son is making the abode with us.
That's right.
To enter into us.
Amen.
To brought into God into us. To make it specifically to make an abode in us.
Yeah.
I really appreciated this word this week.
Yeah.
God's desire in his death and resurrection is so that he can have a habitation.
Yes.
A place where he can live. Amen. He can dwell. He can not just enter into us, but live and have an abode in us.
Yeah.
That is the Father's house. That is the many abodes
yeah.
in verse 2.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Because of time, saints. So as we come to this week, we see that not only first, in order to have the reality of this abode, in order to have to experience and truly experience and enjoy and even express the Father's house as the many abodes of the God. First, we need to believe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Believe into him.
Right.
And as we see that what he's doing today is to make an abode in us and to have the many abodes, there's this corporate aspect. The temple in chapter 2 has been enlarged through death and resurrection to include all the believers, right, throughout believing into Him. And then in 2 Corinthians, we see that we are, 3:15, that we are the temple of God.
Amen.
And we as the body of Christ is the enlarged temple.
Yes.
So today, God's desire is to dwell in us as His temple. So He needs a place to dwell.
Amen.
Okay? In our beings, in our daily living, in our hearts especially. So that Christ can make His home in our hearts.
Amen.
To experience that, we need to open our hearts to the Lord.
Amen.
And we see that in John 14:23. There's this prerequisite.
Yes.
Before He can come, Father and Son can come. What? If anyone loves me.
Yes.
Saints, what is our love to the Lord?
Yes.
How much do we love Him? How much do... Depending on how much we love,
yes,
it will determine how much He can make an abode with us.
Yes.
If we're not open, you know, we, right? Amen. I think the saints can go on, but
yes,
can share more on that. But
yes,
it's not a matter of keeping my word.
Yes.
In order for Him to come and make an abode,
yes,
not only we love Him, but to keep His word.
That's right.
We can say we love the Lord.
Yes.
We can, you know, even consecrate, but do we keep His word?
Yes.
Do we come to His word? Does His word have an effect? Does it regulate us in our daily living? Does it speak and shine on us, right? So these are different matters on how we can apply this matter of the Father's house and having a boat with Him. And lastly, saints, I would just, I'll just share that because we're the enlarged temple, the church, we are the body, right?
Yes.
In Ephesians, we see that the body of Christ is actually the church. Sorry, excuse me. The church is the body of Christ.
Amen.
That's in Ephesians. So today, our church, our living in the church, to live in the church today, in the Father's house, shows that we must take God Father as our source.
Amen.
He's our originator, right? He's everything in the church, and He is our originator, and it is by His life, sharing His life through the Son, that we can live the church life.
That's right.
So if in the church life, in the church today, we miss these aspects, you know, we really miss, you know, the Father's house in our experience of the church life.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So there's a lot this week, saints. I will just end here. And then I think the saints can share more.
Amen.
Amen. We'll start with 3 minutes. 3 minutes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I think this week I was particularly touched with that, appreciating, having a deeper realization that our lives aren't just, you know, to get saved and then that's it, right? But actually, God is pursuing something. Actually, the Father has a desire, right? He wants to build His house. He's preparing this place. But the way He's doing this is the point I was particularly touched by recently, is the Father's house is built up by the constant visitation to the redeemed elect, that's us, of the Father and the Son with the Spirit. And I think also even last night we had like a YP blending meeting talking about having God's appearing. And even some of the language that's used is visitation, like constant, and just considering like, we've been talking about this a lot, like having personal experiences of the Lord, like touching the Lord in our daily living. But actually practically, like, this is actually how, like, the Father is accomplishing His desire. Like, this is how the building actually is happening, right?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I was just, anyway. And so, in this point particularly, there's two things. So John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode with him."
Amen.
This verse is actually, it's a lot in this verse, but I think we can see the condition of the Lord's building work. Actually, there's two things that we can take from this, right? So we would first love Him,
yes,
and then we would keep His word.
That's right.
And actually, when we're partaking in this, when we're participating in this, actually the Father is so happy. He's satisfied with this.
Yes.
This is because this is like actually how His desire is being accomplished. And so, this is not like, you know, a one-time thing, right? It's not like we do this one, I don't know, like contract job that we build this thing and then that's it, right? But actually, it's a daily moment by moment matter, right? And I think last night I was really appreciating and hearing some of the young people's experiences of how the Lord has appeared to them, how the Lord even has visited them, and I think it's not a small thing for us to have, you know, the triune God's visitation, like, and but the condition is just to love Him and to keep His word, right?
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, like, wow, like, even sometimes it's like, okay, we keep hearing this over and over again, like, we need to love the Lord, like, we need to love the Lord, and it's like to keep His word. It's like amen, but I think, I don't know, I was really touched last night hearing, like, the young people's experiences, but because, like, just considering, like, there were moments in their life that they could point to, and they could say, like, that was the Lord. Like, I realized I could come to the Lord. And I was like, just, wow, like, the Lord touched them there, and there's even, they may not have realized it, but they loved the Lord a little bit more from that moment, right? And just considering, you know, sometimes, and then I was considering this keep my word part, because I was like, sometimes I'm like, okay, I mean, keep my word is a very, like, it can seem like there's just all these rules to follow in the Bible, for example, right? But I enjoyed some of the cross-references in the footnote to these verses, which John did bring out, like John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But whoever keeps his word, truly in this one, the love of God has been perfected. But one particular footnote I think that I found it to be a big help was, it's basically, it mentions that in our love for Him, that there will be a speaking. There'll be a speaking in us, and actually, that's His word, right? That's His word speaking to us. And I think we've experienced this before, right? When we get into the word, we get into the logos, but then eventually, you know, we have some of that instant speaking in us, right? The rhema. And so, I think, I appreciate John brought out, what kind of, like, status does that word have in us, right? Like, what kind of importance does that word have in our being, right? And when the Lord touches something, when we're just doing something again in our daily mundane life, like, you know, maybe we're shoveling the snow or something, or maybe we don't want to shovel the snow or something, or we're, like, procrastinating. I kind of had this a little bit this recently, and then there's just a little bit of a touch, right? Like, as you're praying to the Lord, as you're trying to touch the Lord, and then there's just you're like, Lord, I love you, and then it's like, okay, you know, why don't you shovel the snow? And it's like, like, right now, it's like, Lord, like, it's still snowing. Like, I can wait longer or whatever. Or, like, it's like, I can do it tomorrow morning or something. But it's just like, okay, but what is that word? What kind of value does that word have to me, right? Because it's in those experiences that we realize, like, the Lord's saying, okay, like, you love me. And then it's like, He's presenting something to us. And it can be very small, even as mundane as this. And so is our reaction like, no, Lord, like, I'll do it later? Or is it like just, amen, Lord, like,
yeah,
amen? And actually in this way, actually more of more of this abode is being built, like, between us and Him.
Right.
And it's what that looks like is a very, I don't know exactly, but I was just appreciating, again, it comes back down to our loving Him and practically touching Him. And in that way, receiving His speaking. And actually, that's how this growth happens in the building.
Amen.
Amen. I was touched by this Keep My Word. It's really not just the written word in the Bible, but also this living person in us. Of course, that this living person must be a speaking person. So it's not just the word he say in the Bible, but also when we read the Bible, we keep the word inside of us, that he will have a chance when we live our life, he will let us experience this written word is the living word. So a lot of time in my life when I experience this, I feel like it strengthened my faith. Your faith would not be vain if you experience him as a speaking person in you. That he will speak to you directly through the Bible, through your brother and sister around you, or even he speaks directly to you. That experience is very, very crucial for our Christian faith. And then through this, you will grow in life. And that means you will grow in your faith. Otherwise, we will be defeated very easily without this solid word in us. Because we will we will get lost in our own thinking. We will get lost in this word spreading all the news, especially in the YouTube. You can hear everything. And then it's shaking your faith. I mean, what is true? What is not true? So keep the word, my word, is keep him not just the written word, that in Bible. He had to speak in the Bible to us, yes. So Bible is the word. But also there is vital thing is this person had to speak directly to us when we experience in our daily life. And I think that's very crucial in order we have a long life of Christian life. Because you see a lot of people driven by. They weren't here. Next year, they might not be here. So you ask me, why? Because the word is only the written word. And you don't have really experienced the word speak to you. You don't have that experience. You are in the shaky form. You are not built solid in your faith. So keep the word. For me, it's really touching my heart. Lord, we want to keep you like that. Living person, speak to us every day. Every decision we make, he can speak to us. When we dress, he can speak to us. Amen. Everything we walk, we choose, we eat, we interact with people, he can speak to us. When he is so real in every aspect of your life, your faith is growing bigger and bigger. Amen.
Amen. I'm really particularly touched by this phrase Brother Menorah said, the day that God shows you that he is the Father will be a blessed day. On that day, you will realize that we cannot do anything and that we are helpless. We will not have to hold ourselves back from doing this or that. Instead, we will ask, has God initiated this? We know that the Lord initiated everything. Abraham was in Mesopotamia, worshiping idols, and the Lord brought him out and called him, and he didn't even know where he was going. He just went, you know, blindly, I guess. The Lord wanted him, and he carried it out. And I'm very touched by the fact that in order to know the Father, you know, and the menorah made mention of this book, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that in order to know the Father, we must know the experiences of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we know that the Father is the source of everything, right? Abraham knew nothing, but he acquired the land. He acquired and he passed it on to Isaac, his son. The experience of Isaac is of receiving. Everything was an inheritance from the Father. But then we have Jacob. Right? The experience of Jacob is the experience of the dealings that he had. And in order, you know, to even, it says here, in order to even be God's people, we need to know the Father, Isaac and Jacob. We need, in fact, we cannot know the Father by himself. because actually Abraham was the father of a whole lot of nations, right? And they can say, oh, Abraham is my father, right? And Isaac. But it's the three of them. And we see that before, you know, that the Lord has to touch our natural life, and that's the matter of Jacob. You know, someone recently asked, what's the difference between the Holy Spirit and God, right? God is the originator, and the Spirit arranges all things, right? And so here we see that that Jacob, everything is carried out by the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And we know that everything that Jacob pursued, it never came to fruit. Nothing. All his schemings, all of the things that he did, you know, came to nothing, right? He wanted to be first, you know, and he grabbed his, you know, his brother's heel, and he still came out the younger brother, right? He took away the birthright, but he was the one who had to run away from home, right? He went and he got himself, you know, a wife, and the brother gave him the wrong one, and he had to wait again for the other one. Eventually, nothing that he ever schemed came about. Nothing. It was nothing. It was only when he was face to face with God, right, Amen. That God had to touch the hollow of his thigh, which is the strongest bone of our body. And from that point on, he was lame. He walked lame. He was crippled. And a brother brings here, before God brings a man to such a point, he does not have the experience of Peniel. All those who are resourceful, confident, and powerful have not experienced the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And may God open our eyes to see the relationship between these three kinds of experiences, right? They're all interrelated. We cannot have just one or two. We have to be clear about all three of them. So this is the man that builds the Father's house.
This message is actually based on John chapter 14. We know chapter 14 and 17. The Lord was actually speaking to his disciples. Right? We know that in chapter 13, his disciples were troubled. Right? The condition, you know, the situation was when, you know, the Lord actually washed the feet of the disciples. Right? And also spoke to the disciples, especially Peter. Actually, first was the Judas, right? Left, you know, Satan entered into him, so he wanted to betray Lord Jesus, right? He left the supper, and Peter was, you know, also saying, you know, Jesus was also saying, like, before the rooster crowed, right, three times, you will actually deny me three times. So the disciples were actually very troubled. So the Lord spoke to them, right? 14:1, he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe into God. Believe also into me."
Right.
So this is really the burden, right, from the Lord, that he wants, you know, his disciples, right, whoever follows him, to believe into God. And then he uses many, you know, parable. I wouldn't call it a parable. He uses these kind of examples, right, or to really to illustrate, to help the disciples know how to enter God, right? So the first illustration he gave was the Father's house. In the Father's house, don't be troubled. In the Father's house, there are many abodes. That means you all have a place in the Father's house, right? Even for a moment. For a momentary of agony, the Lord needs to lead them, right? He needs to be crucified. He needs to be, you know, in the tomb, right? And he will resurrect on the third day. So he was really, at that time, was strengthening, you know, the disciples. And this also becomes a strengthening, right, for us, right? A lot of times we may be troubled, right? We may actually, you know, in all kinds of situations in the world, amidst trials or environments set by the adversaries, we may be troubled. But the Lord have given us the assurance. Amen. In the Father's house, there are many abodes. And I'm really thankful to the ministry. Actually, this is a very important truth that has been recovered, because in throughout the history, many history Christian or Christian teachers interpret this Father's house as a place remotely in a remote future, which is a heaven, right? And something that has nothing to do with us in this life. But praise the Lord for this recovery of the truth, right?
Amen.
And you know, appreciate brothers at the beginning point out these verses, right? The Lord is a temple, and actually the Father's house is the temple. And of course, this is not the physical temple, and this is actually referring to His body. And actually the temple, actually the Father's house is the enlarged body, right? The corporate body of Christ, which is the church. Amen. So we all have a house in the church, right? We have the Father's house. So I don't know how you brothers and sisters feel. Now, of course, this is a church. This is the body of Christ. It really speaks out the reality of the body of Christ, right? It's not just the outward. You know, we can be in outward church life, but we may never enter into the reality of the body, of our body life. And the entering into the reality of the body life, we need to go through the same as what the Lord has went through, which is the death and resurrection. We need to die to our natural man, right? If our natural man can never live a church life, right? Only the resurrected, you know, the Christified life, amen, can live a proper and a genuine church life. Amen. Maybe I'll share later if I have time, but maybe I'll just stop here. Amen. We need to be in this reality of the body life, which is the Father's house.
Yeah. Amen. I also appreciated this week the verse John 14:2, which says, "In my Father's house are many abodes. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." And also verse 23, which says, "Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode with him."
Amen.
And so I just appreciated seeing these two abodes. One, in my Father's house, there are many abodes.
Amen.
But then we see in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make an abode with him.
Amen.
So we see in verse 23 what this abode is in the Father's house is actually all of the members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And so, you know, in day 4, there's a description of an experience, and it was just so sweet because it said, you know, when we say, "Lord, we love you," the Lord might speak to us. And He said, "Well, since you love me, my commandment is that you do not do this, you do not do that." Mm-hmm. And if we say amen to the Lord, then we have His manifestation. Mm-hmm. And we have His building, filling up within us. And that becomes God dwelling in us and us dwelling in God. And so I read this week, and I was like, "I am sorry, Lord, that was not my experience." Because the Lord spoke to me, and I said no, right? And so, but I just appreciate, I was like, I repent. I just appreciate it. When we say no to the Lord, we can just say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm coming back to you." And we say amen to Him.
Amen.
And I just, you know, when we say amen to Him, here, this point here, it says, at that time, you were so much in His presence. At that time, you had the sense that He was filling you up with Himself and that you were being drawn into Him.
Amen.
You were abiding in Him and He was abiding in you. You were His abode and He was yours. We need to have this experience all day long. And so I appreciate it. You know, Sister Mia said, we just have the Lord speaking. When we're driving, when we're walking.
Yes.
This is God's word.
That's
and
right.
Then, when we say amen, that becomes His constant visitation to us.
Amen.
And so, actually, that is, and then in the next point, it just said, when He's making His abode with His believers, this is for the building of His habitation. And so I appreciate it. It's not just an individual experience. Actually, when we say amen to the Lord in this way, it says, we have no problem with any other brother or sister. And that becomes the oneness of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord Jesus came as the dwelling place, you know, as God tabernacled among men. But then He has been enlarged in each one of us. As we're experiencing and loving His word and saying amen, He's making an abode with each one of us. But then, in my Father's house, there are many abodes. And so it's not just me as one of both. Actually, it's all of us corporately as the many members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And this is the dwelling place of God. And eventually, that will be the eternal consummation of that is the new Jerusalem. So day by day, we're just each experiencing it, but then we love the Lord, we love the brothers. There's the oneness of the body of Christ, which becomes, this is the building and eternal habitation of God. Anyways, it was like mind blown this week. We will come to him and make an abode with him.
Amen.
And in my Father's house, there are many abodes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Lord, just cause us to say amen and love your word and make your abode with us.
Amen.
Amen.
That's our daily experience. If we don't believe into
we have nothing to do with the truth. Like the truth is truth itself. We're not, we don't have, you know, we cannot experience and enjoy the reality. Many times, yes, we say, oh, we know, we hear so many terms, and we know the truth if we stay, I mean, we are in the church life for years, like I just passed 30 years, I'm 30 years old, I mean, a spiritual age. But I just recall, you know, when the first book of the Bible, in at the end of Genesis, what happened to Joseph? Mm-hmm. Joseph had said one very encouraging word, and it is, like this, I think it's 50:20 Genesis. Because his brothers sold him right to Egypt, and he said, "Even though you, his brothers, intended evil against me, mm-hmm. but God intended for good." Amen. This is believing in truth. How many times, you know, like we or the sister, we have fellowship, we experienced, and we are experiencing many difficulties. Ourselves, our, you know, the spouse and the family life and the church of dear sisters and brothers. But do we really see this from God's eyes? Mm. Do we really have a spirit like Joseph had, believing into? Yes, it is not good. It doesn't look good. But Lord, I trust you. I believe into it. Your intention is good for us.
Amen.
To perfect us so we may be one with the Lord. So his building up work can be complete, can be fulfilled. Step by step, little things with say yes or yes, Lord. Or, you know, we repent if we know the Lord. But the Lord has a way for us every day to complete, to help ourselves enter into this reality, to participate in all that he has accomplished for us.
Amen.
Unique one word is building up his body and preparing the place for us, all the members as a boat in him. It's a one place, the church, the body, and the bride. Amen.
Amen. One of the things that touched me in the training was that, you know, on the one hand, it's corporate. But on the other hand, it is individual. You know, for each one of us, Christ needs to make his home in us. You know, the verse in Ephesians, making his home. Brother Lee shared, that's building. He's building himself into you. So that he and you can have a mutual house together. You are his house and he's your house. It says here, the brother shared, Brother Minora shared, God is our abode and we are his abode. So there's a mutual abode for the redeemed God and the redeemed, for the redeemed man, redeeming God and redeemed man. But if we don't allow personally to let the Lord make home in us, then the corporate is not going to happen. Okay, saints? So it is very important. And in Peter, we see we each are a living stone.
Amen.
You know, the Lord is a living stone, but each one, he says, Peter tells us that, he says here, you yourselves also, as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer our spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But each one. So that's why in the Thanksgiving comments, you know, Brother Ron Kangas keeps emphasizing over and over again, how is your personal relationship with the Lord? How is your personal relationship? It is personal things. In order to gain the corporate Father's house, we ourselves, each one, have to allow the Lord every day to build himself into us.
Amen.
To make home in our heart.
Amen.
If we don't cooperate, he will not get the Father's house. Amen.
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 Amen. following sister's sharing, I feel like this point is very important. Actually, this, you know, we need to have a personal relationship with the Lord, right? In order to have a corporate expression, you know, we each a member needs to have an expression. And appreciate the day six, you know. It says, we need to see the intrinsic significance of living in the church as the Father's house. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, on one hand, this is the intrinsic significance. On the other hand, it's also a check mark to see whether we are living in the reality of the Father's house.
Right.
Right? These 10 points, it was actually 9 plus 1, right? The last point is you can say it's a summary, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to very briefly go through these points. I think that's very important. First is to live in the triune God as life.
Amen.
Are we living in His life or we are living in our natural life? Right? That's something we need to check. And the B, it says, to live in the church as the Father's house is to live in the light.
Amen.
Right? We need to live in the light. You know, He is full of light, right?
Amen.
Life is the light of man. More specifically, He shines His light through His Word.
Yeah.
So we need to love His Word, right? We need to actually do His Word. To live in the church as a Father's house is to live in resurrection, right?
Yeah.
Amen. We actually mentioned that. I mean, actually, only through death and resurrection, He actually prepared this abode for us, right?
Yeah.
And we need to also live in the resurrection to be in the Father's house. And the next thing is to embrace in reality. That's what the Lord Jesus is, right? He's full of grace and full of reality. Amen. Are we enjoying His grace? Are we expressing His grace? Right? Amen. And then also we need to live in the divine glory, right? Are we, you know, in our life, in our living, are we glorifying Him? Amen. Do we actually really allow the Lord to shine through us, right? Amen. And it will be and F says it's to live in a house of prayer and worship.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, his church, right? The Father's house is a house of prayer.
Amen.
Amen. It's a house of worship. I want to just specifically say about in terms of prayer, we need to have a lot of personal prayer before the Lord, right?
Amen.
We need to be real, right? Not just prayer for like as a religious, you know, kind of a practice, right? Ritual kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to really pray genuine prayers. And also, we need to come together for our corporate prayer, right?
Yeah.
Our church prayer. You know, Brother Lee in his ministry of the church, right? Or the prayer ministry of the church,
mm-hmm.
really specifically speaks about the Lord actually wants to do something, but He would not do it without our prayer.
Yeah.
Because He needs to gain a people to carry out His will on the earth. Right? If we don't pray, how actually will we know His will? And how His will be carried out, right?
Mm.
Actually, a lot of times, if we pray according to His will, and it will be done, right?
Mm.
Amen. And, G, it says, a life of shepherding, right?
Right.
Amen. We live in a life of shepherding. Right? Do we have someone in our heart that we can actually, oh Lord, with the shepherding heart of Jesus, right?
Amen.
Really, really, also shepherding according to God.
Amen.
We need to pray, right? Oh Lord, this year, give me someone, right?
Amen.
That I can shepherd, right?
Amen.
Of course, I need to be first shepherded by You. But Lord, oh, grant me this shepherding heart.
Amen.
Amen. And, H, it says, to live in the church as the Father's house is to live in and for God's building. Right, so actually, yeah, we need to live for His building, right? Not for, you know, this is something that really on God's heart. And the next one is in the realm of the consummated spirit for the keeping of the oneness, right? Amen. And a lot of time when we have a heart, we also need to remember this is for the oneness of the body, right?
Amen.
You know, sometimes when we have a heart, we may want to just do things according to our preference. But Lord, I need to submit to You. You desire to gain this one body.
Amen.
Amen. And of course, the final one is to live in the church as the Father's house is to live in the divine and human incorporation of the process and consummated triune God. Very mouthful. with the redeemed, the regenerated, tripartite believers. This is ultimately what the Lord wants, right? You know, this is what eventually will be consummated in New Jerusalem. This is what also the summary of all the 9 points above. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. We have time for one more.
And brother and sister, this week's reading in general is a very good reminder for me, and I just want to echo Sister Mia's sharing. Not so long ago, I watched a video on YouTube, and in the video there was a man, I think he has a Muslim background, so I believe there's a discrepancy, there's some discrepancies and differences in Muslim scriptures, in our scriptures, so... what he did in the video is like he was trying to convince the viewers of something else other than our belief. So he was trying to convince people of something different from what we believe in personality. And after watching the video, I feel like my belief, my faith was challenged, was shaken. And And what do you do? Oh, there's no way that I can do other than coming back to the world. So this week I was really touched by two verses in John 14, which is John 14:20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode in him." So in verse 20, we see that it's really a mutual abode between the Father and the Lord and us. So there's really a mutual abode. But in verse 23, we say that we see that for that mutual abode to exist, there must be a condition. And that condition is that we need to keep his word. Right. So this is a really a good reminder that like for that mutual abode to exist, then we need to first to keep his word, and then the Father will love us, and then the Father and the Son will come to us. So just to remind all of us that there's that we all need to come to the word and to keep his word.
And in that way, we will stay in his dispensing. Amen. It's really a wonderful fellowship this morning. I'll just try to conclude. Maybe I'll start in this way. This matter of the Father's house, actually just to follow our brother who just shared, you know, we really need to come to the Word, right? And to see what the Bible speaks, right, regarding this topic. And this might be something that we usually don't do, but please bear with me. I wanted to read two translations of John 14:2 to help us appreciate what we have. This is by no means to be critical to others or be proud, but hopefully we could really appreciate the truths that we have. In the King James Version, this verse says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." The ESV reads, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you?" Of course, our recovery version says, "In my Father's house are many abodes." I'm just so thankful, right? We have the Word of God. Ethan, I didn't bring my analinear this morning, but if you look at the Greek, right, the word abode has the Greek root, meno, which actually means to abide, to remain. That's what it says in the Greek. The New Testament is written in the Greek. So to translate that word into mansion or even rooms gives the reader a false impression,
right?
That God is preparing maybe something physical. Our brother mentioned something in the future that we're going to, right? And so I would say, oh, so many have been cheated, right, from the full experience and enjoyment of God because of a misinterpretation. But again, this is not for us to, we know, right, it's many abodes, and I'm satisfied with that. But actually, brothers and sisters, we need to enter into the reality, right, that in the Father's house there are many abodes. And actually, I just want to start in this way, and maybe this is very practical, but I'm beginning to understand why, our dear brother Caleb, sometimes in his fellowship, his encouragement to us, he would tell us, let's look around, brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Are there any who are missing this morning? And I think I'm beginning to understand where that feeling comes from. In my Father's house, there are many abodes.
Amen.
Many abodes. That means all of us, right? This came out in the sharing. We are an abode. John is an abode. Brian is an abode, right? Joseph, I almost want to say Austin, but actually Austin and Joseph are abodes, right? And if we are sitting here and if we have the Father's feeling, His thoughts, and someone was missing, right? What would our reaction be, right? It's like me coming home. You know, I think I have more feeling about this now. If one of my three boys was not there, right, what's the feeling the Father has, right? So brothers and sisters, in my Father's house, there are many abodes, right? If there was a so-called, I think you understand what I'm saying. If there is an abode that's missing today, right? Wouldn't we, full of Father's feeling, want to just reach out to them, right, to see how they're doing? And so I just appreciate, this is very practical, right? And I think even this week, right, to touch this matter of the Father's house, right? Oh, the Father's house. I think it gives a father great joy, right, when he sees all of his children, right, around and just, worshiping, enjoying, loving Him. Doesn't this give the Father the fullest rest and satisfaction? He was so happy, right, when the prodigal came back home, right? The Father embraced him, welcomed him home. This is our Father's heart, right? And this is the Father's house where we all could be here. And so, yeah, that's the first thing I wanted to mention. The second is our brother Minjing went in a thorough way, and I think it's very good, right, to see that there is a reality, an intrinsic reality of our living in the Father's house. This is not something just outward activity, but there is something real. And so without this, you could say, what we have is really empty. Right, and so some of these divine realities are this matter of the Father's life, right? His nature in the Father's house is a house of prayer, right? Prayer is not something we do, but prayer as the way we live, right? We're just in fellowship with the Father, with the Lord. There's a life of shepherding, right? The Father's house. There's a care for one another. Even the matter of oneness, there's a reality of the oneness, right? In my house, if my boys are not okay with each other, right? I can't let that be, right? There needs to be a oneness. There's a oneness that exists among the believers and even with the triune God. So all of this is a divine reality. I just appreciate that this is the proper expression, right? Again, this topic we're enjoying is experiencing, enjoying Christ, right, so that we could have the expression, right, so the Father's house can express who the Father is in His life and in His nature, right, and so this needs to be manifested, right, in the church today. And then I just want to end in this way. Well, how do we go about this? Actually, the saints already brought this up. I appreciate it. Right, there is the individual aspect and the corporate aspect, right? And so, on the one hand, we are all here, the many abodes, we're expressing the life, the nature of the Father, but each one of us, right, we have a, I would say, a responsibility, right? We need to have a certain relationship with the Lord. And I really appreciate, I think many saints were touched by this, and same with me. I'll just read the verse again in John 14, 23. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word."
Amen.
Actually, I just appreciate the order, right? Number one, if anyone loves me, right? I think a question was asked earlier, right? Do we love the Lord? Do we love the Father? I was reminded, actually, all the saints were sharing in 1 John 2. Actually, there's a warning there, right? If we love the world,
right,
there is no love for the Father.
That's right.
Right? So I think we this is just loving fellowship. I'm not exempt, right? Sometimes, right, we say we love the Lord, but, you know, sometimes things come up, right? Our heart is tainted, right? It's not as pure anymore, right? Anything in the world becomes a distraction, right, to our first and best love, right? So it starts with love, right? It starts with our heart. The heart is the entrance and the gateway to our entire being, right? So I just appreciate this reminder. Anyone loves him. Okay, that's number one. He will keep my word, right? And I think all the many saints share experience. This means practically, right, to say amen.
Amen.
Amen to the word of God.
Amen.
Right, when the Lord speaks to us, you know, in our prayer, in our time when we spend in the word, there is a speaking. What is our reaction, right? If we say amen, right, then that's the Lord's visitation.
Amen.
We just welcome him.
Yes.
Right, I think in the Psalms it says, right, we can lift up our hands, right, to the word. That means we welcome, right?
Amen.
God is visiting us.
Amen.
We say amen. Amen to his word, to his speaking. This is something very practical. And if we say amen, if we keep his word, then my Father will love him and we will come to him and make an abode with him.
Amen.
So actually, practically, right, this is how, through God's constant visitation, through the word, through his speaking, the making of the abode take place, right? And the sister verses in Ephesians 3:17, right? That Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Right? So in your heart, when we allow the word to come in, to even, you know, we have to believe that as we say amen to the word, right? What is happening is he is saturating, right, our mind, emotion, and will.
Amen.
We're being transformed, right, by the renewing of the mind. The word, right, is infiltrating, right, the parts of our inward being, right? So it changes the way we think, right, the way we feel, what decisions we make, right? If we allow the Lord to come into these rooms of our heart, right, that's how practically, right, Christ can make his home, right, in our hearts. And that's how he can really, right, come and make his abode with us.
Amen.
So, anyways, we're all in this process, right? I just appreciate it. This is so sweet. This is so tender, right? That the Father, you know, in John 14, in such a process, right, sending forth his Son, preparing a place where, you know, we could live, we could dwell, and where God could find his rest, his satisfaction, and actually his expression.
Amen.
Right? And so this really requires our cooperation by our saying amen and our allowing him, right, to come in, to remain with us. And so that our living, right, actually it's just our living. Our living is in God.
Amen.
Right? With the Father, right, in the Son, this is just a living that we have with the triune God.
Amen.
And I think through this, then the Lord can gain such an expression through the church today.
Amen.
So praise the Lord, we're in this process.
Amen.
We give this week right? Yes. To continue this process of Him making His home in our hearts.
Amen. Saint, I just want to share this quick because I was touched by the brother, right? Only we Christians, we kind of make an abode with Him. And we can, we are in Him and He's in us. But that, thank God that we have the Word.
Amen.
You know, most all religions in the world don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He can live in us. That's why I want to read this from John. First John. It says, everyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, that which you heard from the beginning, let it abide in you. If that which you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which He Himself promised us, the divine life. These things I have written to you concerning those who led you astray. And as for you, the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone teach you, but as His anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and even as He has taught you, abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, so that if He is manifested, we may have boldness and not be put to shame for Him at His coming. Amen.
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 Right.
Amen.
Oh,
Lord
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, we can abide in You.
Amen.
Thank you for building Your kingdom.
Amen.
Oh, we love You, Jesus.
Amen. We love You, Jesus, Lord. Thank You for going through the process.
Yes.
Have prepared the Father's house for us.
Yes.
Thank You that we can be the many abodes.
Yes.
Lord, make us really experience the joy of the reality of the Father's house.
That's right.
Enjoy the fatness of the Father's house.
Yes.
Thank You as our life, our light. On everything, Lord.
Yes.
Give You this whole week.
Yes.
We can be blessed in the Father's house.
Yes.
Lord, individually, gain us individually and corporately.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, thank You. We can abide in You.
Amen.
Lord, we are Your many abodes.
Amen.
Lord, may we just be in the Father's house.
Amen.
Lord, constantly dwelling in the Father's house.
That's
Amen. Lord, we just give You this week.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, may You be the source of all our decisions.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, may You be the substance of our living.
Amen.
Lord, may we just learn to live in Your anointing.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Lord, do be with us this week.
Amen.
Lord, we believe into You.
Amen.
We'll be those loving You.
Amen.
Oh, experiencing You're making Your abode with us.
Amen.
Thank You for meeting our needs.
Amen.
Oh, now we can meet Your needs.
Amen.
Have this mutual dwelling place.
Amen.
We ask You over us mercy and grace.
Amen.
And today we'll learn to say amen.
Amen.
To Your word.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank You, we have Your word.
That's right.
Thank You, we can keep Your word.
That's amen. Right.
No be confusion.
Yeah.
Everything will be clear.
Amen.
That's right. In the divine life.
Yeah.
Thank You, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh.
Sure. Yeah, can I introduce you?
Yes.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So this is Andrew, right?
Yes.
He's a father of Anita. I don't know. Some of us we know Anita very well.
She's
this. Yeah. She's this cute little girl hanging around with Allie.
Yeah.
So I think Andrew and David are David and
neighbors.
Yeah.
Oh,
Phoebe's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Our
neighbors. First time here.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. First time.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Nice to meet you all.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Yeah. Welcome.
Welcome.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, she came up with that. She was working last night. So, yeah.